Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and a special welcome to our new sister, Katie. What an amazing day and a truly joyful one indeed. Both those here and the angels in heaven rejoice, as well as your brothers and sisters who are joining us this morning at home, who I'm sure also will be sending their virtual hugs. This morning, as we prepare our minds for the emblems, and seek to encourage one another and to strengthen one another, we'll be taking our thoughts from our second reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This writing is a very personal one. It's meant for the individuals of the in the days of Paul, but it is also meant and written for you and I, that we might apply these lessons and these principles, that we would grow in Christ, so that we can contribute to the work of the ecclesia and to the building up of one another and the house of God. So here in this chapter, Paul is dealing with a very new ecclesia or church. And I want to start this morning by giving a little bit of the background on the age in which these believers found themselves in. So as mentioned, Paul is dealing with a new ecclesia in Corinth. Corinth was a chief commercial city in Greece. This city was a port city which had two harbors, which meant for a lot of trade and wealth flowing in and out of the area. The people of Corinth were intrigued by Greek philosophy and captivated by the discipline, training, and athletic events held in the area. At one point in time, the city was home to at least 12 pagan temples. People desperately needed to hear the gospel message. They needed to know Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for sinners. In this beautiful city, which was thriving, full of entertainment, worldly wisdom, and riches, what more did these people need? Well, these people desperately needed freedom. Freedom from sin and death that could only be found through Christ. This is why Paul was called to this region, to establish an ecclesia. So now with this in mind, let us consider this reading that we have read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as we find ourselves immersed in Paul's letter of encouragement and self-examination. So as we consider our reading today, we have seen the central issue here being who these brothers and sisters were following, who they were associated to. They thought that who it was they were following or who it was that had preached to them held some kind of value or self-worth, Paul or Apollos. These early believers thought that they were superior to one another because of who they were associated to. And they had formed into groups due to pride. Well, I am of Paul, some would say. Others, I am of Apollos. And Paul knew that no form of pride could be had in the ecclesia and in our daily lives. Because one of the issues with pride is that it is very hard to mold or to shape something that doesn't think it needs to be shaped. Stones, which we'll be considering shortly, stones that are going to be fitted together to build God's house, need to be moldable. They need to be shaped. A stone that is full of pride isn't a stone at all. It's a boulder, one that cannot easily be picked up and placed into the design of the eternal structure. And if it was to be placed into the wall, it would take away from the unique fitting and placement of the other precious stones, which have been molded from the loving advice and correction of their brothers and sisters, stones that have been smoothed from humility and perfected through trial. So it's absolutely fundamental here that Paul addresses this issue, which is where we are going to jump into our reading today. And so because of this issue of pride, we are presented this morning with a very easy and tangible lesson in this chapter, as Paul is dealing with individuals who can't yet digest the meat of the word. He refers to them as infants in their progress of the truth. Paul uses tangible, visible lessons and ideas to help improve these individuals' spiritual growth. He relates these believers to God's fellow workers, his field, as well as God's building. Fellow workers, field, and building. And we will examine these aspects a little bit more closely in the few moments that we have together this morning. So in order to start to digest the meat of the word, we just have to do one thing, and that is develop our character. These believers needed to get rid of strife and jealousy, as we see in verse 3. Notice that Paul isn't saying in verse 3 that they couldn't eat the meat of the word because they didn't understand the law of Christ fully, or they didn't understand the scriptures good enough. He is saying that because of jealousy, arguing, and quarreling, and because of divisions, that you are still infants in the truth. So in order to be adults, in order to be mature in the truth, Paul is saying that we need to leave such things behind. They needed to lay down their pride and their self-worth and realize that the only individual that they belong to, the only individual worth having their name alongside, is Christ's. And we'll read verse 21 to 23 of this chapter. So then, let no man boast, and let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come. All things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And you can see here the urgency of Paul as he's desperately wanting them to progress in their spiritual maturity, but they are being held back by these elementary principles. So turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll start reading at verse 1. And we'll start to see this idea of leaving behind worldly characteristics and actions that we too might have once lived in. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, like you have been this morning, Katie, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And then verse 5, the writer says to put behind those things that are worldly in you, and he gives us this list. And on account of these things, this list that was given, God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, these characteristics that aren't of Christ: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its Creator. So we see these things that the individuals who can only drink the milk of the word would be associated to. And we are told to put them aside because we have put on the new self through baptism. And then verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Because as Galatians 5 verse 14 says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So continuing on with this reading, we will see Paul dealing with the central issue today, that being the putting aside of pride and self-worth on who it was that these men and women were following, and to follow and to pattern our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have in this reading this morning, Paul plainly stating that they weren't ready for the spiritual meat of the word. And there are two other places in scripture with similar language, which might appear in your margin, but if not, they're in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, both verses speaking on this same issue, only being able to receive the milk of the word. Being able to receive the meat of the word would mean that these believers needed to let go of an attitude that did not reflect that of Jesus Christ. So while we have this strong following here, Paul and Apollos, he describes himself as only workers in the field. God is the one who causes the increase. All right, so as I mentioned earlier, I want to now consider these two tangible objects or lessons that Paul brings out in verse 9. These examples being God's field and God's building. Let's read verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Paul also says fellow workers to you. So we are co-laboring with God. When we are working as helpers in God's field, we are actually working with God And what an amazing thing this is, this work is that we have been called to do. Side by side, hand in hand, working with each other and with our Heavenly Father. The phrase God's field here only comes up once in the New Testament. So I did some digging on what this phrase meant, and it means cultivable. I've always had a hard time pronouncing that. Cultivable. It's a farm or a husbandry. So this word, and this wasn't very helpful for me as I wasn't confident really at what this word meant. So I did some more digging. And cultivable means capable of being farmed productively, cultivatable, tillable, productive, producing, or capable of producing. So if we are God's field, then how is the quality of our soil? Do we have the right compounds or ingredients in our soil? The right ingredients to promote a healthy, strong plant, to nurture it from seed to a mature plant? Or have we been dried out from the heat of the day, only rocky and able to support undesirable plants such as weeds? And I know that many of us here have had some experience with planting, and it's not hard to tell healthy soil versus non-healthy soil. You pick up some soil in your hand that is not going to support plant life, and it's dry and it's sandy and it blows off when the wind picks up. And then you pick up some good soil which is dark and damp and you're almost able to smell the rich nutrients in it. Soil is an amazing thing. It's one of the most important parts of the ecosystem and stores energy and nutrients that has the potential to promote plant growth. It's the foundation of plant life. So if we are God's field, we need to have the right ingredients in our soil to promote plant growth. Clay in our soil is important. Sand can also be an important aspect of soil. Excess water can be drained through the materials. Materials like clay can hold moisture, allowing for plants to have an extended period of water. So the proper balance here is needed of materials in our soil. You are God's field. Is God able to work on this field? Is the soil difficult to till and plant new life on? Or is it easy to work on, a desirable place for a Heavenly Father to create new life on? A field that will bring forth fruits of righteousness. So I want to now move on with our next tangible and easily relatable object that Paul speaks on, which is a building or a temple. So we are also described as God's building at the end of verse 9. And the meaning of this in Greek is architecture. The outline usage of this word is to build up. And it is also the same word as edifying. Edifying being the promoting of growth of this building. So our Heavenly Father is working on us and with us, laboring on this building, which is actually individuals, our brothers and sisters, as well as our other brothers and sisters around the world, locked and mortared together into the building of God. And today, another stone has been added to this building. Katie, you have been placed and planted, established in the temple of God. And it's very fitting that our baptismal tank is a rock wall, rock of all shapes and sizes. Each rock is fitted together neatly to create a barrier fit for its purpose. So continuing on in this reading, we are introduced to another term in verse 10. Reading from verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. A wise master builder. A master builder first needs a design. After much thought and wisdom put into the building, there is a master plan that is required. And we are called to build according to this plan, adding to this building with the foundation being Christ. As builders, we need to understand the plans that God has set and established from the very beginning. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me, in the faith and the love which are found in Christ Jesus. Retain the standard of sound words. Standard here means sketch or pattern. Christ has retained the standard of sound words. He gave Paul the blueprint and the foundation of the building of God. Now, as the master builder, it was his role to add to this building precious stones that would help the growth of God's ultimate plan. And we recall another building which was planned by God, a physical building, that being both the tabernacle as well as the temple. And in these accounts, we are given detail of all the work and preparation needed for this process. And one of the words and phrases that comes up through this writing is according to the pattern. God gave Moses, God gave David a sketch, a pattern to follow, a plan to build this temporary house. Christ here has given Paul the pattern of how to build the eternal temple or the eternal house. So going back to verse 10, at the end reads, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. And I'm sure a lot of us remember here building things as kids, whatever it might have been. Maybe we were building a pillow fort. Maybe it was a fort from sticks and bark, or maybe it was Lego or Play-Doh, but whatever it might have been, we can remember a sibling or a friend coming along, someone who doesn't have the same vision as we do, or who isn't as careful as they should have been with the delicate Play-Doh walls and starts to add to our structure and is ruined. As kids, we have this grand vision through our creative minds of how our fort is to be made. But if the next person comes along and wants to add to it in their own terms, it can kind of be frustrating. So it's important to understand your vision before you help understand the vision before you help out. I know a 5-year-old me probably wasn't going to ask for the floor plans of a fort before I started helping, but you can see the picture here. Sometimes I believe it's easy for us, I know it can be for me at times, that age really doesn't matter when contributing to the work of the truth. No matter how old you are, and no matter how young you are, newly baptized or baptized for many years, each of us have a role to play in God's building. And we can find out our individual role in our lives today through the reading of his word and through prayer. And there are many ways work can be done. A brother or sister needs our guidance or a listening ear. Never be afraid to reach out and never be afraid to ask for help. So let's continue reading this chapter from verse 12. Verse 12 reads, now if any man builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. For do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So we know here that the foundation is Christ. Now here, Paul is addressing not just the ecclesia, but individuals. In verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is to be revealed or tested with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. How are we holding up through trial? Are we standing in the fiery furnace, untouched by the flame around? Or are we consumed from the heat? How will our ecclesia hold up in the day of trial? Will we come together to each other's aid, or will we separate, as did those in Corinth? What type of building materials are we contributing to the ecclesia, which has a foundation of gold? Are we adding sticks, straw, or hay, materials that shouldn't be used for a solid structure? Well, Paul is saying that we will find out which materials we are contributing in the day of trial. When the day of trial comes, will we be shaken or will we stand firm? We recall the parable of Christ in Matthew 7, where we find two individuals who are building houses. One built their house on sand and the other house on a rock. The individual who built their house on a rock had a sure foundation. When the winds and the storms came, this house stood firm because Christ was its foundation. Isaiah 28 verse 16 says, "Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes in it will not haste." Individuals who have built their lives on Christ and trust in him, when the trials come into our lives, don't allow trials to break them. As believers in Christ, we need to use our trials as a spiritual gauge to see how we are developing in Christ. Are our trials in life slowing us down, burdening our faith in such a way to allow our soil to promote growth? No trial has overtaken you that is not uncommon to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you're able to bear. But with the trial, he will also provide a way out so that you might be able to endure it. Now, as a sister in Christ, Katie, together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, are working together to help each other to the kingdom of God, and we are striving to have the same mind, the mind of Christ. Carrying the burdens of each other, so that we, alongside those who have yet been baptized, would together be able to celebrate in that great feast in the kingdom of God. Today we have expressed this, we have witnessed this expression of a death and a resurrection through baptism. And we've been reminded and encouraged by this symbol, the power of the resurrection, as our old self has died and been buried with Christ, that through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in a newness of life. So now as we consider the emblems, we come here week by week on our individual and collective walk. We lay down all of our pride and all of our self-worth as our Lord has died for us that we might have a hope beyond the grave. We come and meet week by week, whether it's in person or now online at home, we come to be renewed from the past week's journey, to partake of these tangible items, the bread and the wine, symbols of Christ's body, so that we would never forget the sure foundation that has been established. To never forget our Lord, the man who had a nature like ours, but conquered sin. A man who had a nature like ours, but overcame all because of his love for his Father and for you and I. Sometimes in life, things don't go the way we had first envisioned. Trials can sometimes dim the light of the truth that was once burning brightly. Now, through baptism, you have been born into a worldwide family, and you, with your brothers and sisters, who have been called to carry out each other's burdens and difficulties as we walk with our common goal on the path that has been laid by our Lord Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make your prayer known to God. When trials arise, when difficult days approach, when the winds and the waves overwhelm, with Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm. Isaiah 43 verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you." And in the words of hymn 345, which we will be singing shortly or meditating on, verse 4 reads, "Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Hear then and do, and thou shalt see that Christ is all and in all to thee. Christ is walking by your side, encouraging you with every step towards the finish line. If you fall, his arm is near to pick you up. Be constant in prayer. Continue in the daily reading of his word to nurture growth. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Even so, come Lord Jesus."